This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra, and this evening we're going to be talking about blues dancing. Now, blues dancing has been around as long as music, with roots that combine elements of both African and European partnered dance. It's slow, it's often close, it's intense, and in the 40s, people used to call slow dragging. In the studio today, talking to us about the global blues dancing movement is Dave Madison.
That's right. He started blues dancing in 2001, has been teaching blues dancing since the beginning of the Bay Area blues scene. A programmer and self-confessed computer geek by day, he also travels and conducts blues workshops all over the world. That's why he's in town with us today. A workshop for Lindy Kale's Kale Blues Explosion 2015. Welcome, Dave. Nice to have you here with us.
Great. It's great to be here.
Now, I managed to do a little bit of a YouTubing just to check out what blues dancing is.
I had to as well.
Yeah. And so why don't you tell us and describe for our listeners, what is blues dancing? Dancing and maybe give us a sense of its history.
Sure. Actually, well, blues dancing, maybe my own personal history, I originally started with swing dancing, which probably a lot of your listeners know something about. Blues dancing is a little bit older than swing dancing, and it kind of got revived in the scene back in the 90s, initially amongst the swing dancers. Blues dancing is a partner dance the way that we're doing it today, and it's very slow music. It's usually very close. There's a lot of a pulse to it. So, like, if you've seen maybe ballroom or tango, they tend to be much more of an upright dance.
Right.
Whereas blues is very much pulsing and down because of its African roots and because of the music.
It's a lot more loose in that sense.
Yeah, it's very improvisational as well. So there's like if you watch ballroom, there's very, very strict rules about movement in ballroom. Whereas blues is much more interpreted by the dancer, has a lot more improvisation to it.
Cool. All right. Tell us about the Bay Area blues scene.
Well, the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, was originally where it was one of the big capitals of swing dancing back in the swing revival in the 90s. And not surprisingly, it was kind of the center of the blues revival that happened in the very end of the 90s, like maybe around 2000, 2001. So there was a lot of places to dance swing, and people would dance very late at night, and the music would get slower and slower, and people started playing more and more blues, and people, sooner or later, make sense to dance more like you would dance to blues music instead of to swing music. So there was kind of a revival of blues that then happened that mostly started in the Bay Area and kind of exploded from there.
So. Do we know what sparked that revival in that time?
Do we know what?
Do we know what sparked that revival in that time? What sparked the revival?
Oh, sparked. Yeah. Oh, well, so there was a lot of workshop weekends happening in the swing scene, and people started to hold these things called Lindy Exchanges, which is like a weekend dance event people travel to, except that instead of having workshops, it's just dancing, which means the dancing goes very, very late. So people would travel, for example, to, you know, Texas. I remember I went to the Austin Lindy Exchange in 2001, which was a moment for me for blues. And there was dancing that would go till 6 in the morning. So you have people from all over the country and sometimes from all over the world, and they're dancing and later and later. And so they ended up having a blues room in the Austin Lindy Exchange where they'd play slower music. And one of my friends dragged me in there, who I owe a huge debt of what has happened in my life to. And so that's kind of where blues dancing came out of. And it started becoming its own thing in San Francisco when we started having parties that were specifically just blues instead of blues and swing.
So you used to run a night called the Lindy Booty.
Lindy Booty, yeah.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
I had a strangely large living room for San Francisco standards because San Francisco has a very expensive rent. But I had this kind of large ballroom in my one-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
And we would hold parties there, and they became kind of an event unto themselves. So Lindy Booty was a poorly named blues event because it was Lindy Hop is a swing dance. But we were doing blues dancing, and it ended up turning into like the biggest Lindy Booty was in 2004. We had about 300 people for a three-day-long house party with multiple bands.
You had 300 people in your house?
Yeah.
That is a party.
That's it was a good party.
Yeah.
It was a very good party. Yeah, we cleaned out. We had three dance floors. We cleaned all the furniture out of the house. We put down wood floors in the bedroom because it was carpeted, and we had dancing in the kitchen and in the back deck and the bedroom. We cleared the garage out so people would have a place to like sit and talk because everywhere else was just packed with dancing. So, and because of that, we ended up, there was a organizer in San Francisco who was inspired to kind of hold a workshop during the same weekend to introduce people to blues. And that was a very successful event for him. And so he ended up running a weekly venue called Friday Night Blues. And that was the, that's the first and still running, so it's the oldest blues venue in our contemporary blues scene. And it's in San Francisco.
It seems like all that growth has been pretty organic within the community.
Yeah, it was very much about like people dancing who just were really passionate about the dance, and kind of it eventually had to become something regular. But that was never really kind of the intent. And then this organizer, his name is Mihai, he started running Friday Night Blues. And actually for 6 months, it was just a place that people would go and dance. It reminds me a lot of actually the scene here in KL, where you just have a bunch of people who just really love the dance and they just want to meet up so they can dance. And we all were meeting up, you know, once a week for 6 months. And then I think what happens is eventually people become comfortable enough with the dance that they're comfortable inviting their friends. So there was an explosion that happened after about 6 months, where suddenly we went from maybe 12 or 14 people every Friday night, it literally within a month became 150 people every week. So Friday Night Blues took off and became kind of this thing that started getting emulated in other scenes. Seattle started having a weekly dance based on Friday Night Blues, and it just grew. So now you can find blues dancing all across America, and now Europe has blues scenes. I've been traveling around Europe a lot the last 7 or 8 years, introducing blues to various cities and countries, and the same thing is happening there. And much to my surprise, we actually came to Asia originally just for, I'm here with my fiance, and we came here mostly for a vacation, and we kept finding there were all these different blues scenes, or all these different blues and swing scenes. So we ended up setting up a workshop in Kuala Lumpur, and that's why we came here, and I'm kind of amazed with how much it's growing in Asia. So.
Fantastic. What's the scene like in Malaysia? Is it big? I mean, when you talk about, you know, people loving to dance and going, I can only think of the line dancing aunties that we have, you know.
That's exactly who we've been blues dancing with. Yes. No, it's amazing. I mean, it's a lot bigger than I expected. I didn't realize that there was... Usually what happens is you see swing dancing starts popping up in areas, and then blues kind of comes after it. And eventually blues becomes its own scene. But here, yeah, I was surprised to find any swing or blues at all. And there's a healthy swing scene, and there's this growing blues scene full of people, you know, who are really passionate about the dance. They have a weekly dance already in Kuala Lumpur, which I didn't expect. They have a Wednesday dance I'm going to tomorrow night before I leave.
Oh, cool.
And they have two weekly swing dances. So if you have people who are interested in that kind of music, and are interested at all in kind of joining an entire global family of people, then now would be a great time to do it. Because Kuala Lumpur, I think, is in a really good place with the energy they have. They also, we taught a workshop, and usually I try to wear them out as much as I can. But at the end of the workshop, they did something which I rarely ever see, which is they said, can we just put some music on and dance for a half hour? I'm like, you know, we just had eight hours of classes.
Just as a little warm down.
It's a little warm down, I guess. Yeah, so I think of you know, all the places in Asia, I can see Kuala Lumpur really sticking to it and kind of creating its own blues center in this part of the world.
Who knew?
Terrific stuff. We're continuing our discussion with David Madison on blues dancing. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. It's the Evening Edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. In the studio with us is David Madison, who's been speaking to us about blues dancing, how it originated in the Bay Area, and how it somehow found its way to right here in KL.
Yeah, and how there's a burgeoning, blues scene. Can you believe it? So tell us, Dave, how important is music to blues dancing? Exactly.
Oh, music is everything. I mean, any dance is... Dancing is interesting because it's an art form that's based off of another art form, right? Dancing relies almost completely on music. Blues dancing, since it's improvised dancing to what is fairly improvised music, the connection is really important. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things we talked about in our classes, is really how to connect more to the music. I feel like when I am in a dance, when I'm having a really good blues dance, I feel like I'm dancing, you know, like it's just me, the music, and my partner, and everything else in the world disappears. So.
And in terms of improvising and responding to the music, I mean, are there certain markers or guidelines in which people are dancing to?
That sounds like you need to come to one of my classes.
I was wondering how far, because, yeah, from what I got from what you were saying, so a lot of it is impromptu, so how do you identify it?
Sure. Well, I will say this, like, blues dancing is also really nice because it's very accessible. It's not a super complicated dance, which means, you know, like I've done some tango. I do Lindy Hop. Lindy Hop is a far more complex dance, and it takes a lot longer to be able to connect with the music when you're having to do, you know, like a basic step that's eight counts. Whereas in blues, it's just about the music. So consequently, you know, even if you just take a beginner class, you can start really hearing the music and starting to change your movement based on the music, which is, to me, like what musicality really in dance is about.
Goodness. So.
And is there such thing as a wrong move, or is it all just sort of...
There are a lot of right ways to do blues.
Right.
There are a lot of wrong ways to do it as well.
Is it sort of... because it's very close, is it, as in a dance and physically, where contact is concerned, is it not for the timid or the conservative, would you say?
That's a great question. I would say... The dance we do now, so as I said, blues actually started almost exactly 100 years ago in the teens, and it was probably a little more salacious back then. It was much more about dancing with maybe the person you were romantically involved with. The dance we do today is very much based on its vintage forms, but we have made it kind of much safer in terms of, like, the comfort levels of being with someone else. So talk a lot about... Well, this just means you can dance with a lot of people.
Okay.
So the dance is definitely very safe. It's definitely very comfortable. And there should never be a point when people feel like their boundaries are crossed. And that's one of the things we talk about. And one of the things that, you know, is instilled in the scene is how you can comfortably have this dance with someone. You know, so like tango, it's maybe physically close, but it's not like you're, you know, grinding with someone on the floor.
Right.
So.
And in your classes, you talk about intentional musicality. Can you elaborate on what that is?
Sure. I'm going to be doing a blues class on the radio. I've never done that before. Okay, everybody, take your partners. And to me, intentional musicality, that specific class is kind of about helping people who are learning how to dance the music kind of start distinguishing the kind of things in the music that we want to listen to. I think one of the problems I see a lot in my students is that they kind of are trying to respond to everything that's happening in the music, and it's right. just too much. So instead, in that class, we talk a lot more about, like, just looking at what different instruments are doing, how to respond to just to calm down your dancing so you can really just hit specific moments.
Calm down your dancing? What do you mean?
Well, it's like, you know, the song might have a moment where, there's a bass line playing, but the guitar has like a nice long hang to it, right? Mm. And if you're just getting stuck on the bass line and the guitar and you're trying to do everything and then all of a sudden you're dancing like this, like my voice, as opposed to like taking a breath.
Right.
And then the guitar has a nice long, like, sustain, and you can stop your dancing for a moment and, like, stretch out to the sustain. That's what that class is about.
Rather than having a fit, sort of thing. Yeah.
Is it pretty obvious to you, at least, for folks who have a decent sense of rhythm and for those who are still sort of trying to discover it?
Oh, yeah, that's obvious. But I'll tell you, everybody can end up in the same place. Everybody. I know that dancing is possible for everyone because I started dancing 20 years ago, and I had no musicality at all. Like, I was one of those people who definitely struggled, and I couldn't, like, you know, figure out how to move. And in all my travels and all the people I've taught, I've only found one other person who had as much of a struggle learning how to kind of move their body and connect with music as I did.
And did you have a sense of like two and four?
It was far worse than that. I literally was totally lost when it came to dancing. I started very late in my life. I'd never danced, but for me, it was swing. I saw swing dancing and it kind of changed everything for me. So I went to that and I was able, you know, now I'm traveling the world teaching dance. So I know anybody is able to learn how to dance if you're willing to kind of put forth the effort.
We're continuing our discussion with David Madison on blues dancing right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. And you're with Caroline and Ezra. It's the Evening Edition. In the studio with us is David Madison. We've been speaking about blues dancing. And of course, we haven't, I guess, asked you, is there something specific about what draws you to the blues? Is there something that resonates with you on that?
I think for me, the thing that gets me about the blues is like the feeling that the music has. I love the music, and I love kind of it has a strong, powerful pulse and this kind of stretchiness to it. You know, I'm the kind of person who likes to like hold on to things for a moment, have that intensity, and blues is full of that. So, you know, as a dancer, dancing to music that I identify with and feel that strongly about, that's what gets me.
Would you say it's your favorite type of dance?
No, I spend pretty much all my dancing time split between blues and Lindy Hop. And I they're like my children. I love them both equally. Okay. Not that I created them, but I...
and for blues dancing, is there a limitation as to... I mean, within blues itself, the genre of music, there are so many different sort of sub-genres. And when it comes to blues dancing, how much of it do you tackle? How much of it do you sort of acknowledge and leave that out? How does it work?
Yeah, that's a good question. To me, I base it a lot on what the social dance scene of today is doing. And I give a little speech at the beginning of my classes that talks about, like, blues is a really big word. yeah. You know, I mean, there's yeah. a lot that qualifies as blues music. There's a lot that qualifies as blues dancing. There are blues music songs that we'd probably swing dance to because of the tempo and the feel of the music. So, and sometimes you solo dance to blues. And there are people who do that. But generally, if you go find a social blues dance somewhere in the world right now, they're going to be listening to, you know, still a pretty big range, right? Anything from Chicago blues, like maybe electric guitar, all the way to like maybe some Nina Simone or Ella Fitzgerald. But kind of the slower tempo, partner-connected dancing. That's kind of what I teach.
And you just mentioned something quite interesting there. How common is it for solo dancers to do that? Because, I mean, that'd be quite interesting, I guess.
As in solo blues dancing?
Yeah, dancing solo is something... I mean, you'll actually find it more in workshops. I think you'll find it occasionally on the sidelines... Actually, especially in Kuala Lumpur, which currently has a lot more women in the scene than men, which maybe is a good advertisement for some men who are thinking about learning how to dance.
Oh, there you go.
But so you'll see a little bit of solo dancing, but it tends to happen more in the workshops. I think people, I mean, for me, one of the things also that really draws me to the dance is being able to connect with other people the way that you do in a dance. Mm. So I think solo blues dancing is great, also from the perspective of learning how to move more. But what really matters to me is connecting with another person in the music. So.
But is it very difficult to connect with another person doing blues dancing as opposed to, I suppose, other steps where, you know, everything is choreographed, right, for the most
right.
part?
I actually think it's easier because the basis of the dance is fairly simple. It's so what you're really learning is connection. So you become, well, like I said, I also do swing dance. I learned swing first. When I learned blues, there's so much connection and musicality in it because the foundations are simpler that it made my swing dancing much better because you learn how to really connect with someone as opposed to just doing some choreographed movement.
Well, it's interesting because the choreographed movement and sort of having some sort of connection, for a lot of people, it's two different worlds where, wait, if you're not telling me to move my right leg, then I'm not going to go there unless, you know, there's some form of, you know,
yeah. recurring but having said reinforcement. That, I'm imagining, say, if I were to dance with Ezra, would it be a case of Ezra wanting to follow the cymbals and me following the drums?
Okay, let's get up and let's do an experiment.
No,
I think... that to some extent can happen, and that gets maybe into a more advanced blues discussion. But in reality, what ends up happening is you tend to move with your partner together. And in some ways, you could say the lead is deciding, oh, we're going to follow the drums. So now the follow has to follow the drums. But the way I look at it is eventually we both are connected together and creating the dance. Maybe the lead is making some more decisions, but like I tell my students, in the end, I don't feel like the follow gets to make any choices, but I don't feel like the lead gets to make any choices either, because when I have a really good dance with someone, the music tells me everything. I really feel like I'm under remote control that, you know, and the music is just driving me.
Do you have a favorite blues song to dance to?
Oh, I have a couple. One of the best would be Nina Simone, Feeling Good. There's another one people don't generally know, even in the blues scene, which is Katie Webster, Pussycat Moan, which is this, like, angsty piano song. Katie Webster has an amazing voice. Well, by Nina Simone, though.
I think we can play some Nina Simone. Folks, stay tuned to the evening edition. We're speaking to David Madison about blues dancing right here on BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're with Caroline and Ezra. In the studio with us is David Madison. We've been speaking a lot about blues dancing, about trying to find your rhythm, trying to find the right type of vibe with your partner. Tell us, I mean, you've been traveling quite a bit of late, and what's the blues dancing scene right across the world? And then maybe we can make our way back to right here in KL.
Sure, sure. Blues is probably strongest in America, you know, because it really kind of took off there. Blues was not happening in a lot of places in Europe. There was a bunch of blues in the UK. The UK has a really strong Lindy scene and swing scene, so there was a good blues scene there. Europe didn't have a lot of blues. Well, I started traveling in Europe around, I think, 2006 and started teaching blues around there. And now the blues scene in many places in Europe is quite strong. Asia, to me, is like the next ground.
Is that right?
Yeah. You don't really find a lot of blues in the southern hemisphere or swing, except for Australia, as a very Western kind of country down there. which in some ways is really sad. A lot of all this, you know, music and dance comes from African roots in some sense, as you
Absolutely.
Mentioned in the beginning. And there are some people who are working on trying to bring like swing initially to Africa. And I would love to see kind of it finally take off and explode across Africa. It takes a time for like the people to really have it in their cultural conscience,
yes.
right? To people know even what swing dancing is or what blues dancing is. And I think that that's definitely happening in Asia.
So when you talk about a blues dancing community, what kind of age group are we talking about? Is there a specific age group? Is it, you know, younger, older?
It tends to be younger in the sense, I think most of the scenes are around their like 20s to 30s. There are a couple scenes where it tends to be like maybe in a college town, especially in the States, I can think of a few places where the, you know, it's from 18 to 24 just because it's so college scene driven. But yeah, I'd say most people are in their 20s and some in their 30s.
Was that the case here in Malaysia?
Yeah, it's the same thing here in Kuala Lumpur, mostly in their 20s and 30s. And the line dancing aunties are there.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
You're picturing a bunch of line dancing aunties grinding on a blues dance floor.
I absolutely can't shake that picture. No.
Okay. Well, maybe you should come on Wednesday. I'll give you a free lesson.
My mom on the scene. And, thank you very much.
She was there last Wednesday. We had a great dance.
I thought as much.
How's that for a picture? Well, I mean, the scene is very friendly. So it is open to all ages. I don't want it to seem like it's ages. It's just right now it tends to really draw people like in their 20s and early 30s. So
have there been any interesting experiences in some of the countries that you've taught in?
Holy cow. How long is this radio show? have there been interesting experiences in the life of someone who travels around the world teaching
dance?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wow. You'd have to be more specific.
Well, is there a particular moment that has surprised you and sort of caught you off guard? Because I'm sure every experience in every city in every country in the world, it's different. But has there been something that sort of really stuck in your memory?
Caught me off guard. Wow. I will say, really, when we first came to Asia, we've been just traveling around, you know, a bunch of countries here. And I knew that Singapore had dance. Because I have a friend who's been dancing in Singapore for like 20 years as well. She's one of the dinosaurs in the scene. And I knew that Bangkok had just started dancing, but we had no idea. Like, I usually have a pretty good idea of like what the scene is like in the world because I travel around so much.
Yeah.
And even if I don't go to a city, like before I ever went to Russia, the first time I taught in Russia was just a few months ago. But I knew tons of Russian dancers from going to like all these different camps. And I knew like Moscow was a really great scene. And
you have a general gauge of
I have a general gauge. And my gauge was way off for Asia because, Seoul, interestingly enough, Seoul, Korea has one of the largest swing scenes in the world right now. And I knew that as well. But we're, you know, down here in Southeast Asia, I didn't think there was really much outside of Singapore. And we've been traveling around and just endlessly surprised. Our first stop was in Saigon, and we were there for about a week. And towards the end of the week, I'm like, I wonder if I should just check. And I got on Google, and I looked up swing, and they had a swing dance that night. So I'm like, oh, well, we should go out. And we showed up, and there were a bunch of people swing dancing in Vietnam, and, you know, they're swing dancing in Cambodia. And we went to Bangkok, where I'd heard that they'd started a swing dance, and we walked in, and the room was full of dancers. And we come to, you know, and I set up, I'm talking to my friend in Singapore. She's like, oh, you should talk to Kuala Lumpur. They have dancing there. And I find out that one of my San Francisco friends has moved to Kuala Lumpur and there's blues dancing out here. And the whole kind of experience in Southeast Asia was supposed to be a vacation. And I've been working the whole time.
So
can I just please take a break now?
Oh, bless him.
So it's been amazing.
David, so for listeners who are keen to find out a bit more about some of these classes and perhaps take up and join some of their blues dancing communities, where should they go?
I should have looked this up beforehand, but I believe if you go to Facebook and you look up either Blues Dancing KL or KL Blues Dance, or Wednesday night, it's at Sid's Pub in Bankster South. Does that sound right?
That sounds right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, you should go there, probably around 9:30 or 10. They have a lesson, I'm sure, beforehand that you could check out, probably around 9 o'clock or so. If you look up online, you'll find these people, and they'll happily bring you into the fold.
I just love that image of blues dancing in a pub. I mean, that's just, all good stories can come from that.
Take it easy, aunties.
Folks, if you missed any part of this program, you can download the podcast at www.bfm.my. We've been speaking to David Madison all about blues dancing right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.